earn or finish your degree online through Walsh University, featuring convenient 8-week schedules that won't break the bank. Transfer up to 88 credits from your previous university and earn credit from life experience and work training. Learn more at walsh.edu.
Welcome to the Digital Transformation Podcast. Interviews with best-selling authors, innovative thought leaders, and top-shelf executives all driving today's digital success. This is the show that will help you take advantage of digital transformation to build your business and career. I'm your host, Kevin Crane, and I'm so pleased that you're listening.
Our guest today is Kareem Marouki. Kareem is the CEO of Crowd Favorite, a client services firm specializing in digital strategy and open source development. He is an expert in digital strategy design and helping enterprise organizations successfully integrate open source into more impactful digital transformation strategies. So Kareem, welcome to the show. Now, open source software development is the process by which open source software, whose code is publicly available, is developed into working applications and systems. And you started Crowd Favorite in order to help organizations do that. What are the benefits of open source development for organizations today?
Today, and what we're finding is that the conversation is shifting. In the last 10 years, it was all about, will open source have the security and will open source have the scalability to be able to help the organization when you have all these platforms out there that are not open source and saying, we're the only ones that can do things securely. We're the only ones that can do things in a scalable way. Well, that's been solved. I can sit here all day and give you examples of how today open source is actually scalable and secure. What's interesting and what organizations today are looking at is there's a new in vogue comment talking about composable solutions. We've been doing that in open source for 25 years. The concept, as you said, behind open source is to be able to bring together these different ideas and to work together with different project applications and different libraries. So open source does two things very well. Giving its community the luxury of choice, options, avoiding lock-in to one platform or lock-in to one idea, one road of solving a problem. And the second thing it does well is speed of iteration. When you look at things like, for instance, the WordPress project, it has over 60,000 plugins in its ecosphere. Think about how quickly you can install something and keep things going. You have more enterprise centric plugins, and you have plugins that are there for some smaller websites that are trying to do SMB work. So open source really is something that should be looked at into how you can solve problems quickly and how you can keep your options open.
Do you feel that open source is gaining steam as a digital transformation trend that enterprises and all organizations really must be in front of as we head into 2022?
Absolutely, more than ever. I mean, if you look at what's happened just in the last few years, there's that Marcom 8000 graphic that we see online all the time that used to be a Marcom 500. Now there's over 8,000 companies, SaaS, closed source, open source. There's over 8,000 companies out there that are saying, we can help you with marketing communications technology. How can we do that? Well, open source lets you tie together the best of breed. It lets you say, I'm not going to go into one solution that is a end-all be-all and lock myself into one road. I can use the best email, the best video option, the best outreach option, and tie those together in a way that fits my custom workflow. Not just big enterprises, but medium enterprises at a much lower cost can come up with complete solutions that can compete with some full tier solutions that are out of their price range by bringing together some of these SaaS solutions and Marcom solutions through open source as a hub, I like to call it.
So if I'm an enterprise leader and I'm looking to pursue open source more ardently in our tech strategies. What are the top things that I need to know about open source that I should be considering today? You mentioned security, cost, time to market, all of that. But what are the things that I need to consider as I convince the rest of my organization that this is a direction we should be following?
Right. I know we're talking about technology, Kevin, but I'd like to take a step back and say, if I'm a leader in an organization, whether it's in technology or marketing or executive leadership, don't think of open source as a technology. Think of it as a way to bring together your marketing and your customer service. If you think about it, we spent the last century where marketing and customer service were two different things. Advertising and marketing were on one side of the house, and dealing with your customers was something you did later once you got them. MarCom, marketing technology, everything that's going on with digital experience platforms and agile CMS, it's letting us bring those things together. So an enterprise leader should be thinking of, how do I bring those things together and still stay competitive? And how do I do that quickly and iteratively without letting costs run away? Well, open source is a vehicle. It's a genre of software. It's not one particular software, but it's a way that you can make sure to keep your options open.
Can you give us an example of a use case or an organization that has been successful in bringing together marketing and customer service using open source? What did they do and what were the results and how can we do it too?
Absolutely. We work with some of the world's largest media companies, for instance, and we were able to bring together systems where they were using something as simple as WordPress as a content management system to go out there and do just straight marketing to their consumers. But then they would build on that and create sort of portals and areas where their customers, once they'd been brought into the system, they were pulling information from their retail stores, from your fan club, from different places you've logged in within their systems to give you customized content. So that's where you start talking about customized content and personalization. When we talk about, you know, the technical term these days is conditional content, but really personalizing the experience for your customers, not being, I'm going to be blunt, creepy about it, not coming in and reading their cookies off of other websites, but information they've given you, information that they've said, I want you to know me better, to serve me better and give me what I want, especially with Generation Z and Alpha and what's coming up in the future now. What's going on is customers want not just a customized experience, but they want to be able to feel like you're giving them not just your products, but your products and how it relates to them. And by tying out through APIs, through tying into different legacy systems on the enterprise, or if you're a smaller company, a medium-sized company, tying your email marketing and your click-through through your website and then video outreach and other things, bring those stats together, seeing those points of engagement, you're able to say to your customers, we see you, we hear you, and this is what you've said you're interested in, because they're willing to give you that information.
Do you want to be a guest on the Digital Transformation Podcast? Well, it could happen when you join our Knowledge Leadership Circle. Tell us about your ideas and advice. What technologies and solutions do you recommend? And how can our listeners benefit from your approach? Be a guest. Find out more at digitaltransformationpodcast.net/guest.
You're listening to the Digital Transformation Podcast.
We are speaking with Kareem Marouki. Kareem is CEO of CrowdFavorite, a firm specializing in digital strategy and open source development. You can find him and find out more at crowdfavorite.com. Now, Kareem, information is what we're talking about here. Data. It's the currency of business today, whether you're a large enterprise or a smaller startup. And cashing in often revolves around that data and who owns that data. What is the role of data ownership in the future of business, and how does open source software fit in?
We see a lot of trends that start with some of our larger enterprise clients, and then we see that it sort of filters down towards the medium enterprise and then eventually small business. And one of the things that's been most powerful is this idea of data ownership. There's some of our largest clients have said for years, we don't want the information that we're gathering to be sitting out there on third-party systems. We want to be able to keep that private. We want that to stay within our tent. So they're working with open source systems, and they're working with even some SaaS vendors out there who are willing to parse off and keep their data private to mitigate the risk of it getting out there. Data security for the consumer, for the end user, is very important these days. And you want to be able to say to your customers that you're taking it seriously, not just that you're not going to send them email or sell email lists, but you're also going to keep it private and not let it sit out there on somebody else's server. So the idea of it being under one umbrella is becoming more and more important.
How do you do that, though? I mean, in these days of cloud services, open data, open software, we are treading this line, this thin line between having a personalized experience and sort of a modern experience customer-wise, data-wise, but also protecting privacy and so forth. How do we effectively do that balancing act?
So in this instance, we're not talking about the security of one particular server. We're actually talking about the security of how many other organizations have access to that data when you're collecting it. So one of the ways that we work with our clients to do that is we say, yes, you can use, we can use service X or Y to go out there and crunch certain data, but how do we anonymize it while it's outside of your servers so that you're keeping the data to yourself as a company and as an organization, so that way, if there was a breach at that third party service, or there's a problem with anything that's outside of your direct control, you're not just a victim of it. So there's interesting technology being developed right now around how to let SaaS do its efficient job of crunching things offline and away from your servers to keep your servers humming well, but yet keep the data local. And some of the best SaaS services out there today will let you have a local data store, and they're coming in doing their crunching, but they're doing it through an anonymized layer.
You mentioned smaller businesses, and I'd like to ask a little bit about how open source software development can level the playing field for smaller players and maybe give them the ability to outcompete their larger competitors. Do you have any advice for smaller organizations, how they can gain that advantage?
I love that question, Kevin. Thank you. I get this a lot when I'm out there speaking. And one of the things I talk about is the fact that even as little as 2 years ago, if you wanted to have conditional content, if you wanted to have deep personalization and progressive profiling, you could only go to Adobe or Sitecore as a content management system. You would have to spend 5 or 6 figures per year on licensing, plus all the costs of development and upkeep. That was the reality. Today, you can use literally WordPress and free plugins, or if you're more concerned with security, some very cheap plugins for literally hundreds or just a couple of $1,000s a year. You can actually do the same types of data crunching that are out there with these large CMS systems out there. So you can have somebody who is a small independent maker of athletic footwear put up a website that has the same features as Nike.com.
That doesn't bode well for the large enterprise solution providers, does it? Do you think the cat's out of the bag?
Well, this has been a question we've been facing for the last 25 years, ever since we started playing with the internet. And I think the Nikes of this world, the large enterprises, will always have the advantage because they have the budget and the forethought. They're playing with AI today, where we're just getting our hands at the smaller level. We're just getting our hands at open AI systems that we can play with, but it's still very expensive to get a good system to really play with that. And what they're doing today in trying to use artificial intelligence in the next year or two, we'll be able to bring to the medium enterprise and then the small enterprise. right? So there's this constant cycle that they're iterating, and then the medium enterprise and the smaller enterprise are benefiting it as this comes sort of downstream, because as it's built for the large enterprise client, we're finding, especially if they're using open source, we're finding ways to optimize it and make it easier to use for that smaller enterprise.
This is an exciting conversation because often our listeners comment that it can be difficult to translate the notion or the promise of digital transformation into real world applications and achievements that move the needle. What is your advice, Kareem, to overcome that gap? What digital transformation efforts should we target that will make a difference?
Well, no matter who you're going to speak to today, if you're in the position of asking somebody that exact question, whether it's an agency or a product, think of it this way. If today you invited somebody into your home to do a home renovation, you don't want to hear what kind of features they have on their speed, on their skill saw, or on their drill. You don't want to hear about which shovel they're going to use. You just want to know it's going to be built well and what you're going to get out of it. You know, am I going to have a place to put my TV that's bigger than the one I have now? So no matter how they're talking to you about their features, always bring the conversation back around to, how are you going to solve my problem? How does this work into my way of working with my process? Every organization out there, from the largest enterprise to the small 50-person enterprise out there, they have the same problem of, how do I adjust my process to technology? The answer is, don't adjust your process to the technology. Talk to people who want to adjust the technology to your process.
Do you want to get into podcasting but don't have the time, technology, or expertise to get it done? Maybe you want to create a podcast for your company or feature a happy customer in an audio interview of their own. My audio podcasting services give voice to your success and expertise. So if you like what I do, why not let me do it for you? Find out more at cranegroup.com. That's C-R-A-I-N-E, cranegroup.com.
You're listening to the Digital Transformation Podcast.
We have been speaking to Kareem Marouki. Kareem is with Crowd Favorite and an expert in helping organizations successfully integrate open source into more impactful digital transformation strategies. You can find him and find out more at crowdfavorite.com. Kareem, we have reached the action item round of the show. I'm wondering if you could please provide us with three quick action items that our listeners can do to begin to take advantage of your ideas and advice.
Absolutely. Number one, if today you're on a small CMS, or you're on a small all-in-one system, look to see what those limitations are. Think about if you could build it from scratch, forgetting technology, what are the functions you need? Because most likely, with using open source as a hub and looking at what's available in some of the SaaS systems out there, you can solve that. That's the first thing. Number two, don't think open source versus SaaS, software as a service. They actually work very well together. We always talk about a hub and spoke solution. If you're keeping open source as a hub, you can branch out to any of those SaaS systems out there without having to think about replatform or how do I churn away from a platform if I outgrow it. Lastly, consider the partners for integration. No matter how brilliant your team is internally, talk to somebody who has an expertise in varied open source projects. Not just us, anybody. Because it's important to understand that just because somebody knows your industry or knows a particular piece of software doesn't mean they're expert at solving larger process problems. Look for an organization that is helping with process problems. We do try to do that, but that's really what's key out there. Don't look for technology, look for the solution.
Well, Kareem, it's been great speaking with you today. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, one last question. What should CIOs, executives, business owners, be thinking about now and strategizing for today in order to be prepared for the world in 5 years' time?
I think an idea that's catching on hopefully quickly today is not to just look at those business processes, but really at the very beginning when you start thinking there might be a technology out there that helps me solve a problem, is looking at the team you have. Looking at whether you're a solopreneur or whether you have a team of 550 or 500, think about the human process, the human aspect of how to bring the people that you're going to actually work on this day to day together with those technologies. Too many times I have people come to us and say, here's a solution that has this list of benefits. That's why we want to use it. And if I ask them, even the first benefit on the list, how is that going to play into how you're working now? They're like, well, I don't know. It just says it's going to solve it. Think about how the human aspect is of how you're going to work with that technology.
That is Kareem Marouki with Crowd Favorite. Kareem, thank you so much for being our guest today on the Digital Transformation Podcast.
Thank you, Kevin. It's been fun.
That'll do it for this episode of the Digital Transformation Podcast. But join me next time when I continue to talk to best-selling authors, innovative thought leaders, and top-shelf executives, all driving today's digital success. And I'll talk to you next time on the Digital Transformation Podcast.